Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson. I am delighted to welcome to Talk Nation Radio this week Matthias Paul Quackenbush. He lives in San Francisco, where he works as a dual diagnosis residential counselor. I have not the foggiest idea what that means, and spends most of his remaining time engaging in activism for peace and human rights and campaign finance reform. And we are speaking with Matthias because he is an organizer of the campaign for boycott and divestment from Honeywell. And you can check that out at badhoneywell.org. Matthias Quackenbush, welcome to Talk Nation Radio.
Thank you very much, David. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you on. Maybe in 30 seconds or less, we should tell people what a dual diagnosis residential counselor is.
Okay, sure. Dual diagnosis just refers to being diagnosed with both a substance abuse disorder and another mental health issue like depression, schizophrenia, that kind of thing. So they're people who are struggling with addiction and other mental health issues.
Sounds very useful and very difficult, as might also describe going after Honeywell, a major corporation. What are some of the primary motivations for targeting Honeywell?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. We went into this just targeting Honeywell because of their involvement in producing the TPE-331 engine for Reaper drones, as well as navigational equipment for those drones. So initially it was just, Honeywell's profiting from U.S. drone warfare, all the extrajudicial killing that's happening in Pakistan, Yemen, and other places. But in the research we've done, especially that my colleague Nick Modern's done, we found that Honeywell's involved in a whole laundry list of other sorts of malfeasances. They help manufacture nuclear weapons. They have a share in Thomas Russell Company, which is involved in fracking. They're profiting from Canadian tar sands mining. They're advocating for Keystone XL pipeline. They, as well as the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The list just goes on. And what we're focusing on more now, just because of current events, is Honeywell's contract with the Israeli military, from which they profited greatly in the past, decade or so, at the very least.
You mentioned Reaper drones. How big a part of the drone industry is Honeywell?
Well, they're pretty essential. The Reaper drones themselves are actually manufactured by General Atomics, but Honeywell produces several essential components for those drones, and I think their most recent contract was for about $500 million. There's a lot of optimism there, and if you look at their press release, about a continued relationship with the U.S. military in that program.
And these are some of the most commonly used drones, as I understand it, in terms of the murdering of human beings in foreign lands with U.S. drones.
Yeah, that's sort of the workhorse of what's going on as far as extrajudicial drone killing right now. And that might change in the future, but at the moment, Reaper drones are sort of central to the whole campaign. And also, I want to note, Honeywell is a big supporter of Congressman Buck McKeon, I think is how it's pronounced, the Congressional Unmanned Systems Caucus and the House Armed Services Committee. That's another way that they're sort of, so they're not only profiting, they're also like putting that money back into perpetuating this policy.
And you mentioned Israeli weapons. Honeywell, as I understand it, is providing weaponry not just to the U.S. military, but also at least to the United Kingdom and to Israel.
Yes, if you look at, there's a website by an organization called Coalition to Oppose the Arms Trade. They've got a great sort of array of all the ways in which Honeywell's been involved with the Israeli military. Just very recently in 2012, I get the numbers mixed up sometimes. I think it was about $735 million contract with the Israeli military in 2012 for some engines for, $735 million for M346 trainer jets. These are jets used to train people who are flying fighter jets and bombers and the like in the Israeli military. There's a whole history going back to previous occupations. I know if you want me to enumerate some of that now.
If you think it's relevant, sure.
Oh, yeah. So, if you look at the Coalition to Oppose the Arms Trade site, they go through just very exhaustively, like, the government contracts Honeywell's received. So they've got a, quote, storefront agreement with Israeli Aerospace Industries, that company's subsidiary, Bedeck Aviation Group. Their torpedoes actually armed the Israeli Navy's Sar 5 corvettes, which were used in Israel's attack on the Gaza Freedom Flotilla in May 2010, which killed 9 human rights activists. Those are just a couple examples. There are many others.
I think it's always worth reminding people that when you work for a U.S. weapons company, you are working for a company that provides weapons to your beloved government, whose wars you may or may not agree with, and to numerous other governments of dictatorships and democracies around the globe. And Honeywell seems to be no exception to that. If you're producing Honeywell weapons or you're supporting the Honeywell Corporation, you are helping to arm all kinds of governments for taking part in all kinds of wars.
Absolutely. They're definitely equal opportunity war profiteers.
Some years back, I was in Kansas City, and Honeywell has long had a plant there making the non-nuclear parts for nuclear weapons, and they were in the process, I think, of moving to a bigger, better plant with local as well as federal subsidies. But the environmental destruction that the current plant had caused and the employees with cancer in huge numbers suggested a company that has problems beyond where its products end up abroad, that is doing incredible damage to the environment where it is and to its workers.
Absolutely. And Honeywell's CEO, David M. Cody, he's a real favorite of Obama, and he's been on some like debt reduction commissions, and he's shown not only a willingness to use his political power to get more military spending that flows directly into the company while they're, you know, reaping record high profits right now, but also has suggested cutting wages for veterans and cutting benefits for and wages and benefits for people in the military, and has a pretty poor track record as regards his own workforce.
This strikes me as remarkable, and I learned about this from your website, badhoneywell.org. David Cote, the CEO, has been put on commissions to deal with the federal budget as a CEO of a major weapons company with major government contracts that pays negative taxes. He's sitting across the table from President Obama, figuring out where to cut spending. How do you make sense of that?
Well, it's all part of that, you know, that Fix the Debt Commission that came out a few years ago. I think it was exposed pretty quickly as just a corporate front group for cutting, I guess, entitlements that they referred to. I don't really like that term, but under the guise of sort of apolitical or technocratic, just like fixing our nation's problems, like it's, you know, looking at the debt as like, Just the very idea of like fixing our national debt is like the priority. It sounds like a very neutral idea, and it sounds like a priority that's not politically charged, but really like that whole group was it just designed to put a like positive face on cutting as much of the our social safety net as possible while preserving tax breaks for big corporations as much as possible.
And Honeywell, according to your website, is pushing all sorts of disastrous policies politically as part of ALEC and the Business Roundtable, and pushing for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And you suggest that that there's a particularly tight connection with President Obama, that that campaign bribery spending by Honeywell increased significantly in 2008. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I also want to know, CEO David M. Cody not only stood in support of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, he stood in support of the fast-tracking of the partnership, which is something Obama was trying to push through as well. So it wasn't just supporting this deal that would take the power away from individual governments and put in the power of transnational corporations, but it was actually trying to like split that past the American people and circumvent American democracy. And that's generally the pattern, like sort of exerting a huge amount of power behind the scenes using money. And it's really, I think Cody is a really prime example of the way in which our democracy has been corrupted by the power of big money in recent years.
We are speaking with Matthias Quackenbush from badhoneywell.org. That's the website. It's a campaign for boycott and divestment from Honeywell. Matthias, the level of campaign spending, as they call it, bribery spending, and spending on lobbying from Honeywell. How big an investment is Honeywell putting in shaping the U.S. government?
Well, you know, it's funny because when you look at the actual lobbying numbers, it doesn't sound like a lot. Lobbying is extremely profitable in terms of the relationship between the amount you put in and the amount you get out. But they're definitely like one of the largest lobbyists as far as the defense industry goes, even exceeding some of their larger competitors like Boeing and Lockheed Martin. In 2010 elections, they gave about $5 million, slightly favoring Democrats. In the 2008 presidential elections, they gave to Obama, McCain, and Clinton, significantly more for Obama, though. And they actually increased by about $2 million a year in 2009. They were averaging about $5 million a year. Now they're up to about $7 million per year. And the quantities compared to what they're actually like reaping from that are pretty surprisingly small, but you really have to look at where that money is being targeted. And it's being targeted not just at Obama, but like I said, like these unmanned systems caucus, these sort of pro-drone, pro-military spending people in Congress.
And paying no taxes has to be a benefit to a corporation as incredibly profitable as Honeywell. How do they manage that?
Absolutely. That's just our system's just rigged. I mean, there a lot of companies. Honeywell hasn't tried this yet, but I'm sure we'll probably see them making great use of tax savings in the future. And maybe they are more than we realize. But how they manage that—it's a good question. I think there are lots of ways for a large, sophisticated company to hire lawyers and find as many loopholes as possible. And greasing the right palms definitely helps with that.
There's also at badhoneywell.org a link to a website on misconduct, and not to say criminal activity in some cases. I think it's a Project on Government Oversight database, and Honeywell seems to get away with quite a lot of serious misconduct and continue to pull in government contracts.
Yeah, I mean, and again, like we've been hearing about these no bid contracts, especially like the corruption in that respect was especially big during the Iraq War. So it's, I think, just a continuation of that pattern where it's not really about your suitability for these contracts. It's just about the revolving door between business and government and how the people who are handing out the contracts are the people who are going to be getting jobs in those industries or have already worked in those industries. And there's very much a quid pro quo there. And Honeywell has proven itself, especially recently, I think, with the arrival of Cody, it's proven itself. It was actually sort of on the decline prior in the early 2000s, but I think it's proven itself extremely adept at this kind of business conduct, you might call it.
So what can we do? What can we begin by boycotting? Obviously, my neighbors and I aren't buying killer drones for a military. What can we boycott that will seriously impact Honeywell?
That's a very good question. This is actually why Honeywell was, we targeted Honeywell particularly for this campaign, because they have a very wide range of consumer products, everything from the sort of classic thermostats they still sell. They have a wide variety of sensor kind of control systems that go into a lot of different products. They also make things like heaters, humidifiers. They make USB, like, USB cord ports. They've got a ton of different brands as well. They they've got like a construction equipment brand. They make like silent night alarm systems. There's a wide variety, and you can look us up. There's a website and app called Buycott. That's BUYCOTT, and you can get that as an app for your smartphone, and it will actually allow you to add a campaign, a boycott campaign, and then you'll be able to scan products in the store, and it will tell you if they conflict with that campaign or if they relate to that campaign in any way. And we have a campaign that's called Honeywell Stop Profiting from Illegal Drone Killing. So you can find that on our website, badhoneywell.org, or you can go to buycott.com and look that up. We've got a surprising number of members already, about 1,500, without really doing a significant amount of outreach yet. So I think it seems to be a cause that people on the website just when they're browsing are attracted to. So yeah, that's probably the best place though to look for brands to boycott and specific products.
So the app for your smartphone is called Buycott instead of Boycott. Yeah. And but if you go to badhoneywell.org, you can find a list of products that Honeywell makes and sells.
You can. And actually, it's a link directly to Honeywell's website. And if you go to, their products are widespread. If you go to the websites of Amazon, Walmart, Home Depot, and type in Honeywell, you'll find page after page of products. Car care products I'm seeing, recreation, like a GPS system. It's they've got their fingers in a lot of pies, whatever the expression is.
and most of their products have the name Honeywell on them. They're not hidden under a laundry list of other brand names, as far as I know. Is that right?
Well, actually, they've got a number of different brand names. Let me just go to our Buycott page, and I'll take a look at some of them really quickly. But yeah, they've got some that are more, they aren't as much consumer products. They're kind of the types of products that we purchase sort of wholesale by like an institution or a larger company. And that's another thing you can do. That's the divest aspect of it. So if you're a member of a company, like one of my colleagues, Chelsea Faria, who's also working on the campaign, she was a student at Yale Divinity School and noticed in their library the library scanners were actually Honeywell. So and that's not something that an individual is buying on a regular basis, but that's something you can, another way to get involved if you see that your institution's supporting Honeywell that way. And that's a way to potentially multiply your impact drastically if you can get other people involved and put some real pressure to influence a large institution to divest or stop doing business with Honeywell. Then you can have a much more powerful effect. Yeah. So, yeah, just looking at some of the other brands, there's North Safety Equipment, Oliver, I think they make shoes, Muck Boots, UVEX Safety Glasses, Barrier and Hearing Protection, the construction workers, they make like earmuffs, that kind of thing. So there's a variety.
Well, they definitely sell alarm systems for homes under their own name, Honeywell, because a week or two ago, a young woman knocked at my front door and tried to sell me one, and in fact said, if you'll put this sign in your front yard that says you bought this Honeywell alarm system, although she insisted it not be called an alarm system, it was so much more than an alarm system, it would handle your health care and all this other stuff, then you would get the system for free by pretending to your neighbors that you had bought it. And because your neighbors will trust you and they won't trust us, you wonder why. And of course, I didn't want an alarm system. They would have to pay me to take the thing. And likely as not, you end up getting a monthly bill after your grace period runs out or something. Anyway, but maybe we should be putting signs in our yards that say, not protected by a Honeywell alarm system, and here's why. I don't know. But in terms of divestment, are there investment groups and socially responsible so-called investment firms that have investments with Honeywell that they should take out?
That's a very good question. I'm not sure. Like, it's hard to access that kind of information, and we haven't been able to do that yet. But that's definitely something we're looking into. And if people who are listening, they have their money invested in socially responsible firms or funds, I would encourage them to look into that and ask and double check that. And just in general, make sure that what you're, if you're trying to be a socially responsible investor, just really be vigilant about that. But Honeywell, especially if you see that name, that's a red flag.
Yeah, you maybe should talk to the Israeli boycott, divestment, sanctions campaign, because they certainly have been pursuing that same angle and going after some of these so-called socially conscious investors that aren't so. The other part of that campaign that maybe is not part of this one, of course, is sanctions. And I wonder whether the idea of sanctions against the U.S. government for its support of Honeywell is something that has been considered.
Sanctions, I'm not even sure what that would look like. Because it's hard to imagine, because there are so many of these of these military contractors that are so entrenched in the government right now, it's hard to imagine who would be, who would be imposing those sanctions, what exactly that would look like.
The rest of the world.
I guess, but of course, so much of the rest of the world is also, Honeywell has offices in 56 different countries, something like that. They help provide security for oil and gas extraction. But, it could be a sort of grassroots movement of the people, standing up and calling out this complicity. That would be definitely really powerful. And, looking more closely at the many ways in which a lot of, especially Western, supposedly civilized, prosperous governments are complicit in human rights violations. I know the U.S., I'm sure there'd be a very long historical list and present contemporary list of offenses.
In London, England this week, a group of activists went to a factory of an Israeli weapons company and blocked all the entrances and dropped a banner on the side of the building and in protest and shut the place down. Are these sorts of protest and actually disruptive actions part of the plan for Honeywell?
That's definitely something that I know I definitely want to make that happen. I think we're going to have a protest, some sort of action sort of towards the early autumn. We're probably going to have an action at David Cody's house itself, which I think is in New Jersey. And there's a company in San Francisco called Lapka. That's LAPKA. That's sort of one of these very sophisticated, or like has a veneer of sophistication, these tech, like high-tech companies, and they use a Honeywell sensor in what's called their personal environment monitor. It's something you attach to your smartphone, and it monitors all kinds of like environmental parameters like CO2, parts per million, that kind of thing. And given that that's in my hometown, I've been really trying to like mobilize the activism community around here to make them a target. And we're going to need leaders, in individual communities. It's a very small group of us. We don't have a lot of resources, so we need people to step up and find, places to picket, places to demonstrate. Targets for civil disobedience. I think we need to really, that's going to be a really important way to draw attention to the campaign and really make an impact and make our voices heard. I mean, one way, we're definitely making our voices heard by boycotting and divesting, but we need people to know that that's happening and know the reason we're doing that. Otherwise, they'll just be, if we reach this point, if we're lucky to reach this point, it'll be a dip in sales, but we need to make sure the connection is made. And one important way to do that will be via direct action that's very vocal.
Your colleague in this effort, Nick Mottern, I understand back in April, went to the shareholders meeting of Honeywell with David Cote there and read a statement objecting to the production of drone weaponry. How did that go over?
Yeah, you can see that statement. It's right on our website, the front page. The first thing is to note something that Nick noted about his experience at that shareholders meeting. It seems like the voice of shareholders, just in general, seemed to be really devalued. There was very little, very little in the way of signs that the gathering was really being taken seriously or much energy or thought was being put into it. I think the meeting looks like, the meeting was about 22 minutes long before Cody walked out. And, Nick read this statement about Honeywell's involvement, rights violation, extrajudicial killing. This was even just about the drone surveillance. He didn't even get a chance to touch on all the other stuff that I talked about before. And his only response seeming to be annoyed. I'm quoting now, "We will continue to follow all laws." it's funny. You can find a video of him on MSNBC or something where he talks about the difference between government and business and how government, you sacrifice a lot of efficiency for the sake of including more people's voices, for the sake of kind of democracy, I guess you would call it, and the involvement of, and I guess, transparency as well. And how business isn't like that. In business, you just you need to take action decisively, and you can't really waste time being democratic about it. And I think there's a lot of ways in which he does have a sense of entitlement about how the business is run, and I think that really came through in this meeting and this account by Nick.
I wonder if there are any conceivable ways to push local or state or the federal U.S. government, Congress, to hold Honeywell accountable in any way. I mean, as you've mentioned, Honeywell and others have invested in these Congress members so heavily that drones have a caucus, unlike war victims or poor people or the climate. The drones have a group of Congress members dedicated to defending their interests. Is lobbying at any level part of the campaign?
Yeah, I mean, like, if we make it politically consequential for our legislators, executives, what have you, to have a connection, to be under the pay of military contractors, if we somehow make them pay a political price for that, then I can see that maybe having an impact. But and that means by, like, being vocal about why we're voting the way we're voting, choosing very explicitly to support candidates that are not receiving money. But it's hard. I mean, the whole system, just like, the system is so corrupt that it just kind of, people are almost, like, people probably go in with the best intentions, I imagine, and they go in trying to make a change, but then they get pushed into the system where they have to get fundraising, and there's all this sort of subtle pressure to accept money from lobbyists, and they need to take the money to keep up with you know, the other politicians. So I think ultimately it's going to have to be a systemic change where money cannot influence our politicians as much as it is allowed to in the current system. But our focus here is more to, because we've been pressuring politicians with this drone campaign for years, and that's one way to go about it. But this campaign is really trying to make Honeywell pay, and, like, I guess the whole point of this boycott and divest Honeywell campaign is that Honeywell has the power. It's not where, I mean, our politicians have some measure of power, but it's really, if you look at, like, David M. Cody, the perfect example, he's on the board of the New York Federal Reserve. He's, you know, tight with Obama. He was on the J.P. Morgan Chase board. He's just ubiquitous, and he's pulling all these strings. And that's where the real power is in America today. So that's why we're targeting Honeywell.
Well, I wish you nothing but success and hope to be of some help, and I hope it grows significantly in this country and becomes an international campaign, because there are governments around the world turning against drones already. They just aren't the United States. We've been speaking with Matthias Paul Quackenbush. He is an organizer of the campaign for boycott and divestment from Honeywell, who so richly deserves it. And you can learn more at badhoneywell.org. Matthias, thank you very much for coming on Talk Nation Radio.
And thank you so much for your time and your attention, David.
This is Talk Nation Radio. I'm David Swanson. Take action at rootsaction.org. Help end war at worldbeyondwar.org. All past shows can be heard at davidswanson.org. Talk Nation Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. If you are listening to a nonprofit station, please support that station. Talk Nation Radio is funded by contributors at davidswanson.org. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way. Until next time.